Welcome to 30-ish. Today we are giving you a chance to ask us any question you want in a segment we call Ask Us Anything.
That's real simple.
Yes. We kept it simple for you.
That'd be scary though.
But let's get into the ish.
Yes. Man,
all right, y'all. I'm reading this book called Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
You are about 20 years late.
I know, but you know, better late than never, because
this
it is
true.
All about how men and women communicate with each other. It's crazy.
Is
yeah.
it good?
Yeah, it's really good. Pretty much, men are direct and women send smoke signals.
You know what?
Thanks for summing that up for
us. I mean, that's the clip notes of it.
I'll let y'all go first because I feel like I straddle the fence. So,
yeah. Well, I'll go first because, I mean, I'm married, so I consistently struggle with speaking to men every single day, my husband and my son. And, I mean, I talked to Steven about this, like, before. I mean, it's very, my husband is black and white. With me, it's emotion. And that's basically how it is. And Naeem and I are very much similar on this note as well, as I also think it's part of your zodiac sign. But that's, I swear, we're going to have to do a whole segment on zodiac signs. But
yeah.
That's it. But I've been told by a mom who, a very intelligent mom, the owner of WeSpring, and she told me to read a book called The Male Brain, because there's the female brain and the male brain. And there is all this scientific research on how different we receive information.
Yeah.
So
it's all about science, actually. Yeah, we are way emotional. We're actually sometimes too emotional. And that kind of prohibits us,
Amen
I think, from
that.
Communicating to you guys. That's why someone told me to speak to men and just people in general that you want to hear your point.
Mm-hmm.
Speak slowly and lowly. That's how pimps talk to their, yes. Slowly and lowly.
Tony, what do you think?
Because it makes you pay attention and don't involve emotion. When you get loud and you start to mm-hmm. use too much body language is when people tune you out and they're not paying attention to what you're saying anyway.
And that's
when
it shuts down.
Oh, and I was going to say that I think it's important too to be clear, because I think what happens sometimes as women is we assume things or we react quickly, and then we think that they already knew that, or they should have known that.
Yeah.
No, it's like we actually have to communicate and directly say,
because women like to give all these signals and have these anticipations and expectations for men to be able to be mind readers. And I'm sorry, but we can't read your mind.
It's nice for men to just do something without having to spell every single thing out for you.
And we can
do that. We have to spell it out.
Not everything.
No, almost everything.
I mean,
think about how much time would we save if y'all just get to the point.
That's true.
Well, listen, that's...
Okay. Depends on what you're talking about.
I mean, that's...
This side of the panel is so mad at me right
yes,
now.
Yes, yes. You might be on your own, Willie. But for me, I like to be very direct. I am so big on communication. And I even remember when I was very, very young, I was the type of person that went to my family and was like, listen, nothing gets solved unless you communicate and say how it is that you feel. Now, sometimes I do have an issue with, you know, surprisingly, really telling people how I feel.
No.
Right. But sometimes my face will say it all.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't need to say anything. And if you just look at my face, you know exactly what it is that I'm saying. But I do feel that we just need to be direct and say what it is that you need to communicate to someone, even if you feel like it's going to cause conflict, which most people don't like conflict, or even just for you to feel better.
Yeah.
Just get it off your chest and say what it is that you have to say, because if you keep suppressing these feelings and these emotions and you don't say anything, like, it stresses you out and it makes you feel
certain kind of way. And back to psychology, it's like one of the Freudian theories where it says that it will be displaced anger. And for you, if you don't communicate to the person that topic or issue or frustration is directed to or the source of, then you will take that out on someone else or something else, and that's unfortunate because then it just snowballs into everything.
Yeah.
As the person,
it's displaced anger.
As the person receiving it, you want to be, Tony Robbins said, I listened to one of his podcasts the other day, and he said it's more than just listening. It's about being connected to that person and understanding and being connected to what their issues are and really feeling that and going through that pain or that process or whatever it is with them. So
well,
it's listening and being
connected.
Speaking
of going through processes with people, dealing with friends when you're in a relationship, whether it's a new relationship or whatever it is, for instance, I think any change, big change in your life really shows who your friends, true friends are. So your new relationship with your new boyfriend, girlfriend, you tend to put them above your friends. For me, I had a new relationship with a baby, and I put my relationship with my baby before my husband and my friend. So it's crazy. So, yeah. Like, how do you kind of balance that?
See, I feel like, again, it goes back to communication. Mm-hmm. I feel that when people get into relationships, that they tend to be so focused on that mm-hmm. that they block everyone else out. Hello, friends, wherever you are, text me, call me, because I have no idea where you are, because you are now in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And there are so many times where people just have tunnel vision and they forget about those people. But yet, when you break up, then you call all those people and trying to find out where they are.
This is the thing, though. I do believe when you get into a relationship, it's like a new job or you move to a new city. When you're embarking on something new, whether that's a relationship or not, that you need to give it some focus and time and attention solely to that. Now, I'm a very understanding person, and I know when people are going through stuff in their life. So if you're one of my friends and I've known you for a long time, you meet a new boo and y'all are booed up and it's cool and I don't see you as often, I'm okay with that, because right. I would probably, you know, if I had a new boo, I'd be booed up too.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like right. it's like you want to understand where your levels are with your friends, because right. there's some people that are not as understanding and they want more. They're very needy and mm-hmm. they need to know, okay, you know, this is what's happening. You need to explain stuff to them. Whereas I'm the type of friend where, look, I get it. Life happens. Things happen. It's okay. I still love you. I'll see you when I see you.
You don't have to.
I'm with Tony, though. I think communication is the key.
Yeah.
For example,
yeah.
even like, you know,
you still need to communicate.
As a mom having a baby, I mean, it's understood. But maybe there are some friends who maybe are missing you, or they might want that attention. So just to communicate to them that I haven't forgotten about you, but, you know, it's so hectic being a mom right now that I'll touch base.
Yes.
But my issue is that most people see it as the new mom or the new person in the relationship. They're the ones at fault, because they're the ones that are in the new thing. This is why I agree with Naina, is because as a friend, you are the one on the outside witnessing it.
Yes.
Why not be the person to step in and be the one to really, like, establish that I want to hear about what's happening with mm-hmm. you. I want to hear about, and, like, do more work. So when I got engaged and I was so tunnel visioned in my relationship, my wedding, I remember only doing that and not having the friends touch base with me. And then, so when all of my friends got married and when all of my friends had babies, I consistently checked in with them as much as I possibly could, because they didn't do that for me, and I wanted them to see what that
but
was.
But it's also understanding people's love languages, right?
Yeah.
So if your love language, it sounds like it's like acts of service, you know, and like you want someone, or it's like communication, mm-hmm. words of affirmation or acts of service, like all the different love languages, if you guys are familiar with that. It's like once you understand what your friend's love language is, then you can be a better friend to them and they can be that to you. So it's hard, but it comes down to communication.
Tony, what's your love language?
What my love language is. My love language is call or text when you feel like we haven't communicated. Like, that's how I am. Like, I have reached out. I'm that person. I reach out to friends. If I haven't talked to you in a while, mm-hmm. I will reach out to you. And even when you're in a relationship, I want to be like, hey, like, how are things going? Clearly they're going well, because you ain't calling or texting nobody. But at least, like, give me, you know, a little bit of time to be like, okay, yes, let's reconnect. Let's catch up.
So that way I'm not, like, if you're a bunch of single ladies or single guys going out to club or the bar, part of that going out is to meet somebody. Part of that going out is to not be going out on having a guy's night every single weekend or a girl's night every single weekend. So if you do meet somebody great, you got to give it some focus and some attention. And I've had buddies who have met girls and had girlfriends, and that relationship develops and I don't see them as much. And that's okay. And I think that we are in our 30s, and I think now is the time to kind of be taking those relationships mm-hmm. a little bit more seriously.
But who's going
to
be at your wedding?
I mean,
you ain't communicating with people who won't be there.
You should have friends who understand
that. Well, if they're really good friends, they'll still show up.
Right, absolutely. And if you have an issue with someone, and I take this back to our first ish, was to write down your thoughts, all right? So that when you do communicate with that person with this and the initial issue, when you talk to them or you have an issue with them or you want to know, like, write it out. Like, organize your thoughts mm-hmm. so that when you do communicate with them that it's a clear conversation and you don't feel like you left the conversation forgetting to say something or forgetting to mention something.
Right.
So, you know, speaking of communication, some people get cut off, you know, like, you got to cut it. And those are exes sometimes. How do you guys feel about being friends with your exes?
I don't think it's possible.
I think it depends on the type of person.
I agree.
I mean, because there's some situations where you just know it didn't work out, but yet you can still manage to talk to that person. Now, I have to say, though, having been cheated on before, I would never want to be a friend to that person. Like,
right.
It's done. I don't want to see you.
Yeah.
It is over. We are done. looking back at my history, I'm not really friends with a lot of my exes, but I'm with one or two of them, and I think that's because there was that open communication.
I tried to be friends with my ex, but the problem was is that I felt like because I was friends with him, like he still felt like there was a chance we were going to get back together.
That he had those privileges.
No, he definitely knew he didn't have those privileges.
Okay. Yeah. Because they get confused.
Yeah, but I think he was trying to get those privileges.
See?
Yeah.
Oh, see?
And so that's when I was just like, you know what? This is just not going to work.
There's always one party in the relationship that still has an attraction, whether it's the guy or the girl.
One
party still has an attraction. Therefore, I believe it's damn near impossible to have just a platonic friendship.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. I have one. There's only one of my exes that I'm actually really good friends with. And there's just, I do believe that there are people that come into your life for a reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that if you are mature enough to be open-minded to see that and understand that there are people that come into your life for a reason, that you're going to make the wisest decision for your life as to whether to keep them in for their reason and their purpose, and yours and theirs as well, or dismiss them altogether. And usually my exes have done something absolutely unexcusable, not unforgivable, because I have a forgiving heart, but I will not forgive, which is why you're cut out of my life. And when I'm done, I'm done, honey.
But this guy that you're friends with,
there's no coming back.
Does he have an attraction to you?
Of course he does. Absolutely, honey.
Exactly.
He wants to marry me, and it's okay.
Well, I think it's ultimately how it ends. How it ends is really the big, because I have a lot of, honestly, probably until I met my husband, I was buds with all of my exes, and because a lot of them ended because it just wasn't working out. I don't know, and I mean, unfortunately, one of my exes can no longer be friends with me because now the person he's with doesn't like me. So I'm the ex-girlfriend, I totally get it. But it was just, I was legitimately sad because he was my bud. Like, we grew up together, we were friends, and there was always that attraction. So, but it really was when I met my husband. Now that I'm with him, I don't touch base with any of my exes.
Would you want your current boyfriend or girlfriend being friends with their exes?
No, of course not.
My thing is this, if you can't meet them, if it's one of my friends and he can't introduce me to his new girlfriend, if we're exes and he feels uncomfortable about introducing us, then I feel like he's up to some, you know,
some shady
business.
Yeah.
Right, he's up to something.
I just wouldn't want my new girlfriend to meet my ex-girlfriends just because. That's
why?
The best
but
thing.
My thing is,
I never want to ask a new girl. I never want to ask a new girl about her past relationships.
You don't want them to have coffee together.
No, why would I?
And talk about you.
Because
you know that
don't happen. Yeah.
But I never want to know about, like, the new, if I'm dating someone new, I don't really want to know about, like, her past relationship stuff.
No, I know.
No guy does.
I don't really care.
But I'm just saying.
Buddy.
But
like,
girls do ask
me that's
that.
A different situation.
What, to meet their ex?
Me, like, so tell me about, like, some of your ex-girlfriends, or, like, when was your last relationship?
Well, you can ask that. Like, I think that's a valid question.
I don't know. I think it just, like, leaves a lot of room for danger.
If a woman asks you what your last relationship is, a woman is trying to find out, okay, are you just out here playing the field, or are you a relationship guy? Like, she's asking that for her own benefit.
Yeah,
she's not trying to be.
She's being real Carmen San Diego right now. She's putting the clues together.
Those are respectful as a lady. Those are respectful questions.
Yes and no, though. Yes and no, because I mean, because I am married. When I met my husband, we never talked about exes. I actually only found out about his history because, like, his family would tell me, oh, well, you know what? Prior to you, Brett was never really interested in bringing girls to family events or this or that. So it doesn't matter what their past is, because when they're with you, they're different. So he did not bring, you know, he'd date, and he'd be like, no, I don't want to bring her around important people. And it was me who changed him. So it was just,
it's important to, you trust your instincts for sure.
Yeah.
But I think as a woman now dating in this technology world that we date in, there's a lot of online dating going on, that for women, when we ask those questions, is because it's safety issues, we're trying to protect ourselves, and I think those are valid questions. And as a respectful young man to a respectful young lady, don't feel uncomfortable about answering those questions, because you don't have anything to hide, unless she gets a little deeper, like, so y'all broke up because of what, like, you know, or if she's just asking you your last relationship, I think that's valid for sure.
Yeah. Well, what's real valid is what I saw on the news the other day. There is a report or research done in the UK that apparently there is a danger age for cheating. And that age is 39. Now, how do you guys feel about this? Do you think that at that age, like, suddenly there's something that happens and people are like...
Is that for married people? So what if you get married at, like, 42? 32 or something. Like, what? Like,
that might be different.
Well, actually, what they said, the danger age is 39, but they also said it's really at the end of each decade. So 29, 39, 49, 59.
I would say that's more for people who got married in their 20s, like late 20s or even early 20s.
I would say early, definitely early.
Because people are constantly changing. And like you mentioned, the whole decade thing, I think, every 10 years, people are really going through a radical change. You're not the same person that maybe you were when you met that person and got married, right?
Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever been cheated on?
Absolutely. Yes. All those exes. Hi.
I had a girlfriend in high school, and she was like one that I did bring to family events. And we dated for like a year. We were really serious, and we had like a little bit of a 2-week break, but we were still kind of together, but having some space. She went on a trip to New York to go see her aunt, she told me. She did go to New York. She came back, and we hung out, and she was on my computer, left her emails up on my computer. And she left the house, and I sat down on the computer. Her emails are right there, and there was a conversation from a guy that she went to New York with.
The messy boats, honey. Get it together.
I emailed the guy right away and was like, yo, this is my girlfriend. Y'all just went to New York. We need to talk. And he's like, here's my number. Call me. Emailed me back right away. And I called him, and he had said, we'd been dating for the last like month. We just spent the whole weekend in New York. I have no idea who you are. Oh, she didn't mention, say anything. And I was like, crumbled.
So when you brought it to her, what did she say?
So I called her, and I was like all panicking. I was like, who'd you go to New York with? She's like, immediately on the other end of the phone, I heard her like, she's caught. She's like, what do you mean? What do you mean? I'm like, I know you went with this guy.
Girls try to be calm, cool, and collected when they call about stuff.
She did. She did.
Well, she
but I was like screaming. I would like turn into complete...
You know what's horrible?
On the other like, phone. Women, I can't believe you would do this.
But that's why I asked you. I was like, did she fess up? Because women, we're very emotional, and we're gonna like crack. Like we're gonna be like, oh my god, yes, I cheated. Oh my god, I've never cheated, by the way. Never lied. Never cheated to any of my exes. So
good.
But anyway, but you should not like do that. And I think men got a memo when they was like 5. They take it to their grave. Men do not. When they cheat, they like they could be kissing a girl. You could walk up and they could be like lip locked and be like, that's not me.
Was it even there? No.
Well, I have been cheated on, but I was a little more Nancy Drew with mine. So I was the same way. For some reason, I never looked through my ex's phone before, and for some reason, I decided to do that. And I saw this text that said, would you like to go out on a date with me? And I was like, oh, and I immediately packed up myself, because we lived in separate cities at the time. I packed up myself, and I was like, I gotta go, bye. And he was like, well, you kind of left abruptly. What happened? I was like, you need to check your phone and figure out if there's something we need to talk about. He was like, I don't understand what you mean. I was like, check your phone.
So it was just the text message?
Right, but did he respond? Or is it...
No. But this is what he did. Like, it was just that, from what I could see, because he came back in the room, and I was like, you know, I had to, like, you know. So he looked at his phone, he called me back, and he said, well, my roommate was using my phone when we went out to the club, and he was texting this guy, and so that's actually him. And I was like, no, that's a red flag. So what I decided to do with a friend of mine, I was like, gosh. So we need to go do a drive-by his house real quick. And so I actually surprised him and went to his house and knocked on the door. And when I walked in, there was another guy standing there. And I looked back at him and I said, we need to talk. And he was like, yeah. And everything got blurry at that point because I just remember going through the room.
In my hand. Yeah.
I just remember going in the room and like just anything that was left of mine, I was taking. I remember going into the kitchen and like the guy who was there like running by because I guess I don't know how I looked, but it looked like I maybe was about to whoop somebody's ass or something.
You saw red.
Yeah, and I was like slamming stuff and did, and then it ended so dramatic. It ended with me like on the front lawn and I'm just like bawling and like cussing and doing all this stuff.
2 weeks.
3 months. I love heart. I wear my heart on my sleeve.
You know what? Love heart. Love like you've never been hurt. But guess what? You take a pause for yourself, and you get back up, and you sashay, honey, and you move on.
All right. Well, we are going to sashay here. We are going to take a quick break. Go check your phones, but do come back, because we have a lot more of 30-ish.
The next...
Dreyer here from The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. We're your twice-weekly broadcast of one man's midlife crisis and the mad millennials in Star Trek uniforms that follow him.
And I'm one of those millennials, Lauren LeGrasso here. We've had some amazing guests like Russell Simmons, Ileana Douglas, and Craig Gass. Coolio, right?
Christian Blatt in the house to tell you to go to thetomorrowshow.com to check us out. We're live every Monday and Thursday from 10 to midnight Eastern. That's thetomorrowshow.com. Be there, be square, whatever that means.
Welcome back, everyone. Now, there are times where you just need a friend's opinion, and we want to be that friend to you. It is now time to answer some of your burning questions in this segment, Ask Us Anything.
I'm scared.
I'm excited. Let's see it.
So let's start with our first video question here.
And I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. And see, what had happened was I have this best friend, and we've been best friends for like forever. Now, my best friend has been dating someone for like forever as well, but all of a sudden, they've cut ties. Like, they've broken up. There's no sign of them getting back together. They've blocked each other on social media. They've moved out. The accounts are split down the middle. They've taken, one is taking one dog and the other is taking the other dog. But my best friend's ex wants to continue a friendship with me. What do I do? Now, mind you, this person has been around for 10 plus years. They form associations and friendships with everybody in the crew, but my best friend expects me to just cut ties with that individual. What would you do?
Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, 10 years vested in this friendship. That is a long time.
Similar. And it's very difficult. Now, what I would do is question the ex's motives, right? So are you trying to stay close so that you can possibly creep back in? You know, people just be trying to creep back in.
It's 10 years, though. Like, I feel like after 10 years, you've established your friendship with that person. Mm-hmm. And I have always felt like this. If you haven't done anything to me, then I can continue my friendship with you. And my friend has to just understand that your situation has nothing to do with me.
But you also have to be mindful of, and I watch this when new people I'm dating or new friends or people I bring in my life, how someone treats others, you could ultimately end up on the receiving end of that treatment. Mm-hmm. So you just got to be mindful of, like, if they did something, they lied to them or cheated on them or did something really bad to them, like, it could happen to you.
Oh, yeah, because, like, if it's something like that where their character is in question, where they've lied, cheated, or something like that, hands down, we not friends. But if y'all just didn't work out, then...
What's the cutoff period? Like, 10 years, you develop your own relationship with that person, but what if it's only been, like, 6 months and your best friend just broke up with this person that you were friends with for 6 months
really
or a year? Like, what's the cutoff time?
I think, again, that's personal. I mean, for this guy, I think it almost seems like they have a friend circle that's all kind of integrated.
Yeah.
So I think that he should be allowed to figure out if he wants to continue that friendship or not. I don't think that the other friend should really come in and say...
people are petty. And they'd be like, you can't be their friend because I'm not with them no more. Like, people are petty. And they'll be like, you got to pick a side. Yeah. And that's unfortunate.
And your friend shouldn't put you in that position. But what if your best friend was dating someone for 6 months and you guys hung out every weekend and you saw that other person?
Should
you still be friends with that person?
I still think it depends on the situation. Like, if you've established a friendship, you know.
I disagree. I think after 6 months, the friend that you've been best friends with for so long, you only know that person because
your loyalty is to them first.
And if something did happen, you gotta protect your close group of friends.
It's hard for me.
That's why communication is key.
Yes, it is. I'm dealing with that now, and like for me, because it's a fresh, like it's not a relationship thing. They were just friends, and I met the young lady through my main friend, and they're not friends anymore.
Oh, so it's a girl.
It's a girlfriend thing, and I'm like, I'm basically just trying to hope that I can figure out a way to get them back friends together because we did so much fun stuff and I want to have a brunch and I can't do it at my house and invite both of them because it's just going to be messy and I'm not having a reality segment in my house. So guess what? I need them to get their life and get it together. We're grown and at the end, you know what? At the end of the day, we are all we have here. When you find great people in your life, have some sort of forgiveness in your life. No, you don't have to forget and never think that they're going to do that to you again, but there's a reason why that person came into your life, and until you figure that out, it's worth trying to, you know, take the time to preach.
Yeah. Well, with that, let's go on to our next question.
Hi, my name is Daniel DiNicola, and I'm sending this message in from my hometown, Erie, Pennsylvania, where I've been spending the majority of my summer visiting with family and friends and staying separate from my husband. When I go back to California in September, we will be finalizing our divorce, and it will be time for me to move out and onward with my life as a single man. So my question for you is, what advice do you have for a 30-ish guy like myself on how to branch out and make new friends after having been through an 8-year marriage bubble? Thank you.
My heart breaks a little bit. I know. And I think this all goes back to how did things end. So it depends on what kind of, you know, thing you're going through. And I think something that people don't talk about enough is therapy. And I think I personally have not gone to, but I swear I should, because I just would love to have that person to speak to that has that third party, you know, view on life. But yeah. I think if you're dealing with turmoil, you're dealing with sadness, I think that's a really good decision to make, and actually a lot of health insurance will cover it.
Yeah,
that's a good way to start.
I think also it's you know, if you're after this 8-year relationship and you're getting out there and you're just looking for friends and to start your life again, you definitely, again, communication, you need to make sure that you communicate to these new people that you meet that where you are. You know, if it's just friends that you're seeking, make sure that it remains that way, mm-hmm. because sometimes, especially in our community,
you have a rebound.
I mean, have a rebound. That's fine. But just make sure you keep it as friends. Don't blur those lines mm-hmm. where, you know, you're feeling, you know, lonely because you're so used to having that companion mm-hmm. that you blur the lines with these new friends and you end up like in sticky situations, literally. So, you know, just be careful. And communicate.
I mean, I think you should definitely, like, one cool way to meet new friends, because we're talking about friends,
yes,
is to reach out to your alumni association at whatever school you went to. It will not only help build your network on a business side or your career, but it'll also, like, you might meet some really cool people mm-hmm. and be able to help, like, meet others through them. I always like to keep a chain. It's like I meet new people through the people I already know and trust mm-hmm. because their character has already been validated. And so I feel like reaching out to your alumni network would be cool. Some different business organizations would be a good way to start. And like Maria said, therapy is always good.
Yes.
Don't be ashamed of that ever.
Not at all. Well, let's take it to another question and see what they need help with.
Hi. My name is Matt Crothers. I'm from Colville, California. I had a question that I drank way too much. I just need to know the best cure for a hangover. I love you.
Yeah. Homeboy looks extremely over there, man. I mean, I would say the thing I do whenever I'm out and if I'm having drinks, I always drink water along the way. Mm-hmm. If I have a beer or a cocktail or whatever, I always have a glass of water in between. And then when I get home and go to bed, I like to stop and get a Gatorade, get those electrolytes flowing. Mm-hmm. And then if it's been a real turn up kind of a night, I might pop a Tylenol or two, even though that's obviously not the best thing for your liver. But if you really want to eliminate mm-hmm. a hangover, you got something really important to do the next day, a Tylenol before you go to bed once in a while. I wouldn't depend
so why,
on
why,
that.
So why at his Tylenol? Situation, though. So, but I mean, why? What's the deal
with
that?
If you do it the night ahead of time, when you sleep, that's when you're going to get dehydrated. So that Tylenol will kind of help.
Why is the Tylenol bad? To not do it frequently.
Well, it's just hard on your liver.
Yeah, Tylenol is not good. Aspirin is not good on your liver. It says it on every bottle. Like, it's not good for you.
Yeah.
But in his case, I think maybe 2 aspirin, some water.
Yeah,
and a lot of Gatorade would really help out.
In the day, I mean, I don't know, something greasy to eat,
Pedialyte.
Something with substance in the morning.
It's like Gatorade. Yeah, Pedialyte is like Gatorade, too. Well, I say eat before bed, probably. I don't drink like that, so I don't know, man.
Water and tea. Yeah, I don't drink like that either, but what about the people that say you should drink more, like a Bloody Mary or something?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Some people swear by it, and by some people, I mean my husband, because
you're watching this.
No, he knows. He'll have, like, and this is not all, like, he's not a big, you know, binge drinker, but if, like, you know, we have a wedding or something we go to, he'll wake up the next day, and usually it's, like, if the wedding's on location and we don't have to take care of our son, he will just have a Bloody Mary. Mm-hmm. I cannot do that. I'm, like, a sweat-it-out kind of girl. I work out, and I just.
That's a good way
I feel
to
better after I sweat it out.
Okay, so work it out, or work it out with some water, Gatorade,
or just drink
greasy
straight
food,
liquor,
or
get to the straight liquor. No juice. When you mix juice, it gives you a headache because of the
sugar.
Sugar, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For somebody who don't turn up.
Yeah, right?
Because I've learned. I've had my days of drinking. Trust me, I had a lot of liquor sponsors. Trust me, I've had them. So I've learned how to drink the right way.
There you go. Well, let's take this last question, and hopefully we can answer it for you.
Christian, I'm from Palm Beach, Florida. I'm an attorney down here. And I wonder sometimes how easy it is for someone to move from a place like I live to Hollywood to pursue their dreams. Now, I am the next Scott Disick, but no one from E! Or no one with the camera crew knows that yet. If I went to Hollywood to pursue this dream, would I be with Kylie Jenner within a week, or would I be sleeping in the back of my BMW?
He's trying to make America great again.
We're not going to jump to conclusions on all the Trump signs in the bag. You got your entire life with that.
Fixing Jesus.
Yes.
I think we answered his question, you guys.
Well, the real question is, all right, we're moving to L.A. or we're moving to a big city to pursue your dream, whether it's entertainment or to take a new job or just to get a break from wherever you're coming from.
Or try something new.
Have a new life. Yeah. I mean, what's your guys', not everyone's from LA here on the panel. What's been some of your journeys?
For me, I had a plan.
Absolutely.
I knew at a very young age that I wanted to pursue a career in entertainment, and I planned out how I was going to execute that.
Before I moved here, I made sure
that I, of course, got my education because I knew that was important in case things didn't work out.
Yeah.
I got that. I went to college and everything like that. And then I finally just took a risk. I asked family members for help to move here. And before I actually moved here, I came here for a visit to scope out the area, look at how the job situation was and things like that. And also to make sure that I could live in the city because I didn't want to show up and be like, this ain't for me.
Yeah.
So I think having a plan will help you prevent you from living in the back of your BMW. I don't know about the Kylie part.
You never
want
to do that because it stifles your creativity. Like, people that come here, I believe in definitely taking a risk. You should believe in yourself and never doubt yourself, period. You can do it. But what we're saying is have a backup. Right? Because it's your reality. And then have a plan before you get here.
Yeah.
Don't just drive here and park somewhere.
What's part of the plan? Like making connections?
Save money. Save at least, I say a year to 2 years of savings. And I got that advice from an entrepreneur when I was deciding to leave the corporate world and branch off on my own. I say save money and then reach out to your business networks, your alumni association, other people in the business
LinkedIn
already that's here.
LinkedIn is a great
LinkedIn.
Place where you can meet business professionals and send them messages.
Coming.
And look at the area too. I think that is very important because that
way
is so spread out and I don't think people realize
No, I have
so,
no idea.
And it's so scary once you get here. So it's so important, again, to talk to people and find out about the different communities or the areas that you might want to live in.
Yeah. I did that before I got a place here, but another really, really important thing is to make sure that you tell people you're coming and that you're serious about being here because a lot of people say they're coming
and then they never show up.
Yeah. So what people don't, a lot of times, they don't take you serious unless you have like a California driver's license, a phone number, like get a Google Voice number that's an 818 or one of the LA counties area codes. Use that and ask a friend if you can use their address to put on your, at least their zip code to put on your resume because people won't take you serious if they don't think you're physically here.
Yeah.
Like you can apply for jobs like in Kansas City or wherever you live, but until you're here, people don't take you serious because this is a city of a revolving
and it's
door.
Quick.
Yeah,
it's quick.
It's worth it to spend
the money to come out for a trip, like you said,
Absolutely.
To do that interview to scope the area. But yeah, definitely have some financial reserves. Susie Orman, one of my favorite financial gurus, she says to have an 8-month emergency fund, regardless of where you're at. If the job ends tomorrow, make sure your living expenses, your fixed costs are covered for 8 months. Yeah. So I think that's probably the minimum you want to have in your bank account before you do go make a big move.
Well, Susie Orman, I'm coming to get your 8 month emergency fund.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm going to do that.
It's a lot. I mean, there's blogs out there too. And don't be afraid to ask for help. Like, that's how we got here. You know, Tony had an idea and he wanted to create this show. And that's how we got here, is that we asked for help. Put your ego aside, because this is a city of egos. And when you're humble and good at what you do, you meet great people and you do great things.
You can continue to ask us. Thank you for that. Ask us your questions there. We hope you guys got your answers that you were looking for. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're watching 30-ish.
Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. We want to let you know about my new show on SiriusXM Stars Channel 109. It's called Conversations with Maria, and it's live Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Go to conversationswithmaria.com for more info.
I will never get sick of your dancing, Tony, ever in my life. What a
Y'all
show!
Don't see it.
I feel like that was really in depth on relationships.
Yes.
I learned a lot about you guys in this one. But we want to hear what you guys think. Please tweet to us with the hashtag 30ish and let us know if there's any topics you want us to talk about or if you want Tony to dance, you know, whatever it is that you like. But we will see you guys next time on 30ish. Thanks for watching.
Bye, guys.
Bye.